is Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're here. How's Mike?
We're here, and it's still summer, it seems.
Oh, is it? I haven't been out today again.
Well, it is warm out there. It is sunny, and I don't think there's a cloud in the sky as far as I could see.
Nice. I love it.
I don't. We need rain. And this is end of October, for crying out loud.
It's a coming, I'm sure. Let me see. Well, let me got my trusty Kyle weather forecast.
Let's see it.
Rain likely on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, pretty much through the rest of the week, starting Sunday, rain likely.
Well, I've heard that similar forecast, and it hasn't occurred, so I don't know. Oh, gosh.
When in doubt, are you going to blame it on Kyle?
Yeah, it's all Kyle's fault. Right. I knew that.
He types it up.
Yep. Well, thank you for listening today. This is about your lawns, your gardens, your landscaping, trees, shrubs, whatever you want to do or have done, and you have a question about it, you can call 673-4464 and ask your question, and I will give you an answer, and 99% of the time it'll be correct, so don't fret over that, okay? But one thing I wanted to give a little advertisement before we start here. For years, I've been reading Mother Earth News, and, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's some kind of a counterculture type magazine.
Yeah, I thought it was some kind of Russian propaganda.
No, it isn't. It's about people who actually go out and build sod houses and log houses and farm things and grow things and become self-sufficient. But anyway, it has a lot of different good articles. Just if you're interested in growing stuff and you're serious about it, you know, here's one article. It says, reap the garden and market bounty and how to dry food. You know, you grow your food and maybe you can freeze some of it, which is good. And then other stuff is not, you know, say, freezable or workable in that respect. So they have a recipe on how to dry it. And you can you stock it up in your pantry or somewhere else and then bring it out and you add water, soften it up, and cook it. I mean, I kind of went through it real quick. Another one is freezing fruits and vegetables from your garden. How to do that? And I'm going, why would you freeze fruits and vegetables? But we've never done that. We've eaten them fresh. But it says you can round out your food preservation regime. Tap into these straightforward freezing tips to turn your garden harvest into a sensational off-season meals, and which is good. There's another one, add thermal mass to your old off-grid greenhouse. How to take nature and warm that greenhouse up so it actually works. And then I got one that's how to make your own beer. You know, I'm sure there's somebody out there that would like to do that. And it has, you know, home brewing is a kettle of fun. Well, okay, I've never done it, but there's an article on it.
Got anything in there for wine, Kyle? Would be interesting.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Not in this particular issue, but and they have one on, of course, home food preservation. And then there's one that's how to grow your own flour and from your own wheat. You know, you have a patch of wheat, and you make your flour, and then you make your homemade bread and all that kind of stuff. And what I'm going to stress today is kind of along these same lines is how to grow $700 worth of food in 100 square feet.
Nice.
Yeah, and these are written by people who actually do these things and are successful at it, and it's good information to have if you're interested in self-preservation or the local Safeway closing down.
You never know when that might happen.
Yeah, right, or Albertsons or whoever is out there.
Yeah.
But at any rate, if you have a question, 673-4464, and we'll get you right on the air, and you know, we can have a conversation. You can ask whatever question you want, and we'll come up with a solution. And then this weather. You know, this weather is bothering me. It's been too warm, too sunny, too nice, and it's the end of October. We should have had a little more rain and cool weather in October.
Well,
and
we did get some.
Yeah, some. 1.11 hundredths of an inch or something like that for the month so far. For crying out loud, geez Louise. This is the Pacific Northwest.
True.
Know? And the reason we have fir trees and all that kind of stuff and green hills is because of the rain that falls out of the sky. I don't want it to continue in this dry mode. But, you know, who knows? My buddy here on the other mic said it's going to start raining Sunday and rain every day. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath. But at any rate, every season of the year, you know, there are gardening projects that can be done with good results. You know, even in the middle of winter, you can be out there doing something in your garden to get it prepared and ready to go for the following spring. And right now, as the weather is getting rain and temperatures are supposedly all going down, there's several projects you can tackle as plants are slowing down and going into dormancy. And not my garden is still producing tomatoes and potatoes and broccoli and everything else. It's amazing. I asked my wife the other night, this morning, I said, are you still getting stuff out of the garden? She says, oh, yeah. And she shows me a whole bucket of tomatoes.
Oh, no.
And, you know, there's some this and some of that. And so I'm thinking, when's it going to stop? I don't know. But it's kind of interesting. We have great gardening weather here. Sometimes in the spring it's not so great because it seems like it wants to rain into May and you want to have that garden in by April probably. But, you know, you just kind of have to bear with it and do the best we can. But right now, like I say, as the weather is getting some rain somewhere and all the temps are going down, there are several projects you can tackle as plants are slowing down and going into dormancy. They do that when it gets cold, but it hasn't been. What's the lowest been in the 40s and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's not cold for a plant.
50s mainly. 46. Yeah. 46. Says 44.
Yeah. It's not even chilly almost.
No, I can remember when it was freezing in October.
Oh, I do too.
Ugh.
You know, and then but this time of year you can safely do transplanting with little damage to any of your plants. Say you've got some shrubs in a corner of your yard and there's, you know, too many of them. Mm-hmm. You can safely transplant them this time of year with good success. And there's a couple of rules of the plant world that you have to follow to have that success, but it can be done. And when you start transplanting, the first item on the list is to dig the hole where you're going to put the plant.
Mm.
You know, it's always better to dig the hole, have it ready,
right,
have it large enough, have your good soil ready to go into it, and make sure that, like I say, the new hole is deeper and wider than you think it should be. In other words, just a shovel width is not big enough for a lot of plants. I mean, if it's something small in a 4-inch pot or maybe even in a gallon can, yeah, you can do that. But usually if you've had some plants in the yard for a while, they put on some growth, and they're a little bit bigger than what you would buy at a store, at a nursery, or something like that.
Yeah.
So you don't want to try to just jam a plant into a hole that's too small. It's not gonna work. Or
here's where you went wrong, Dad.
Yeah. You know, you got to be bigger than 4 inches in diameter to stick an 8-inch plant in there, okay? But if you do have a root ball, say, that's 8 inches in circumference or diameter, you want to have at least a 12-inch hole wide and a little bit deeper so that you can put good soil on the bottom, put the plant in, and then fill all the way around that extra 4 inches or 2 inches that you have with good soil, and you're going to have success. And the other part of it is that if the plant, oh, gosh, it's been, say, in your ground for 2 or 3 years, it has some significant growth, prune it down about 50%. You're not going to hurt it. It's not going to struggle that way. And, you know, it will enter the root system you're not damaging, but you're just taking the top off. It's okay.
It'll be a smooth transition.
Exactly. A smooth transition. But and the plant's going to make it. That's for sure. And make sure, like I say, if the hole is deeper and wider, hey, great. And don't jam it into a hole too small, and you'll be okay. And it should be, like I say, large enough to accommodate that root system with a little bit left over so that good soil can be placed all the way around the root ball, and new roots will come out easily. There's no resistance. If the hole is too small, and mm-hmm. say you have hard,
hard
Douglas County clay,
yes,
and and you don't have any additional
space.
Nutritious soil to put in around it, mm-hmm. and you just shove it in the hole. It's going to struggle because those roots that have been cut when you've taken it out of the ground. They're like trying to grow into a brick wall for crying out loud. Now, there are some plants that will make it, but most plants are just going to suffer, and they're going to be not as healthy if they survive.
This hurts.
Why? But if you've got that good soil in there, those new roots are going to grow easily into that new soil and get that plant established, whether it's a shrub or a tree or a rhododendron, it doesn't matter. You want to do that. And don't, like I say, just don't crowd that root ball. Good loose potting mix is going to be the real key to success. And you fill it around that root ball and on the bottom for, like I say, a couple, 3 inches, maybe 4 inches of good soil. And it sits in and it goes, wow, thank you. It's good. I like this. And the same procedure is true if you have potted plants. If you have something in a pot that's been in the pot on the patio for 4 years and it's kind of slowing down and getting a little scraggly, that means it's root bound. You need a bigger pot or you need to put it in the ground. So when you get a bigger pot, make sure that bigger pot's at least twice the size so that it can do well. And then the good soil, of course, is going to hasten the procedure of it rooting out very, very well. And like I say, the digging after you dig up that transplant, whether it's in a pot or in the ground, prune that puppy back at least 30%, and in some cases maybe 50%.
Wow.
And less branches on the top means that the root system's not going to struggle as much when spring rolls around. Because if you give it a numerical value, let's say the roots are at 100 and the top's at 100, and you go ahead and dig out the plant and you take out 40% of the root, or at least 20% or 40%, and you don't prune the top, then you put that plant in the ground. It doesn't have a sufficient root system to continue the growth that it had the prior spring. It's just too weak. It will grow, but it will grow slowly, and some of the top branches will die. That's why you prune it back, so it doesn't have to work as hard to produce new leaves or new flowers or whatever is going to come first thing in the spring.
Shall we take a break?
We'll take a break, and we'll talk about more of this.
All right. And our phone number?
673-4464 is the number.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, that poor guy.
Yes.
What? Anyway, we're back.
We're back. I was hoping so. I heard the music, I mean, gee whiz. But we're talking about transplanting in the fall. That's what I'm talking about. And trying to educate anybody out there that, not quite sure how to do it. And it's not that hard with smaller plants. When you get into bigger trees and stuff, it's a real deal. And I might touch on that. I'm not sure. But once you've got the new transplant in the ground, in its new home, you want to soak the new transplant with vitamin B1. It's not a fertilizer, but it's a vitamin that initiates root growth, and it really, really works. I've used it for all my professional life. I tried it on some things that were way back when I was young and learning. I tried some of it on a tree that I found at the dump, when it was called the dump. And it was laying there, bare root, with the sun on it. And I thought, who would throw a perfectly good tree away? So I put it in the back of my truck, took it home, and I planted it. And then I soaked it with B1. And it sat there for a month with no leaves, no nothing. So I soaked it about, once every 10 days with a real strong, the solution is like 2 tablespoons per gallon. Well, I was putting about 5 tablespoons per gallon of water and then, really soaking it down. Oh, another month went by, and all of a sudden these little buds started popping out on the ends.
Yeah, nice.
And so I quit soaking it.
Yep.
And so now I'm into about May, first part of June, and the leaves just bust out, and they are like so green you could hardly look at them. I mean, the thing, it was just gorgeous. It was a flowering cherry, a Kwanzaa flowering cherry, and why anybody would throw that away, I don't know. They were expensive way back then. But that tree, when we finally sold that house, that tree was probably 20-some-odd feet tall and had a canopy about 20 feet wide, and it was the most gorgeous tree on the street. I mean, it was beautiful. And so vitamin B works, and you can get it at the co-op or, even the box stores carry it. Oh. And it's called Start, Liquinox Start, and it's just vitamin B1, and all it does is enhance root growth. It can take a dead tree or a sick shrub and bring it back to life in a very short order. So,
what if that would work on humans?
I don't know, but it, like I say, it's not a fertilizer. It's just a super vitamin that initiates root growth. And like I say, after a couple of months and it's growing real good, then you can lightly start to fertilizer with a plant food, very lightly. Don't try to overdose it. I mean, just because you finally got leaves on it and it's finally growing and it's looking good, you don't want to dump 2 handfuls of fertilizer around the base of the tree or the shrub
and kill it.
Yeah. you want to go very lightly, say once a month, very lightly, and you'll just see that thing grow. It'll be beautiful. And after that, after the first year, after the first growing season, you can get on a regular fertilization program. And it's for shrubs, for trees, for anything that has a root. I mean, that's what it is. It's a root enhancer.
Dumb question. I'm assuming your cherry tree produced cherries.
No, it was a flowering cherry.
Oh, flowering. Yeah. That was the key word.
Yeah, it was a flowering cherry. Beautiful pink flowers, just gorgeous.
Okay.
But no fruit.
Ah.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to pick all that fruit. No.
You would have left it there.
Yeah. Well, it was a good thing. I knew it was a cherry of some sort. Excuse me. But I didn't know what brand it was and until the flowers actually came out, and then I could identify it. Because there's pink ones, there's red ones, there's white ones. Like Mount Fuji flowering cherry, white flowers. Mount Fujiyama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got it.
You got it? I mean, well, you're looking kind of blank there.
No, it must be the hair.
Oh, gosh. But here's another success story with this stuff. One summer, many years ago, there was a client that called and said that she had some very large rhododendrons in front of her large windows, and they were ugly with very little foliage, and she wanted them replaced with new evergreen plants that bloomed. She wouldn't mind more rhodies or something along those lines. So and I said, well, how many of them? And there were 9 of them. And I had no idea what they looked like until we got there. And there was 9 of them, all right. And they were about 9 or 10 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
And there were no leaves on all the branches except right at the very top. And the stems were, 2 and 3 inches in diameter. And there was probably 3 or 4 or 5 stems coming out of the root ball. No leaves until the very, very top.
Well, it was ugly.
Oh, it was, And she had these beautiful windows and a view out to some part of Garden Valley, which was really pretty and all that. But she hated those. And she says, get rid of them. Get them out of here. I don't want them. I thought, oh gosh, you know. But I thought, you know, I'm going to try something here. I just couldn't dig them up and throw them away. I just didn't have the heart for that. So, and it was a good thing I had my crew with me. And so I decided to transplant them at my nursery that I used to own. And but first item was we cut them down to about 3 feet tall. Just cut them 3 feet, maybe 2.5 feet. Then we loaded them in the trucks, and the root balls were, oh gosh, 3 feet wide, and the tops, like I said, were about 3 feet tall.
Good Lord.
It was very drastic pruning. They were either going to sink or swim.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There was no getting around this thing. And it took three of us to pick one up and load them into the pickup. That's how heavy they were.
Jeez.
You know, because there's no handles on the roots. You know?
True. So, and you, yeah, can't,
you just can't
dig get your, a grip.
You know, you can't get a grip. And anyway, four of them filled a truck bed. And my big pickup, and only four would fit. That's how big the root balls were. They were at least 3 feet across.
Jeez.
And probably a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet deep, you know, the thickness of them.
And that you don't, and that's a pretty large truck.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's, yeah, and I thought, well, we'll see what's happening here. But I took them to the nursery, and I put them in the shade out back and covered the root balls with bark mulch. First, I put about 4 inches of bark mulch on the ground, and I had that's where I kept my young plants that I was growing up for future use. So there was a sprinkler system out there, and by the way, this was like in June, I think.
Oh,
you know, so it wasn't cool and it wasn't damp. So I put about 4 inches of bark mulch on the ground. Then we put the big root ball on that bark mulch, and then I covered the entire root ball with mulch, you know, so, and just soaked them and soaked them and soaked them, and vitamin B1, put a lot of vitamin B1 on them, and they, you know, I turned the sprinkler on them, oh, you know, gosh, every day, and they really looked pathetic, but I mean, there was, you know, three or four ugly stems, about 3 feet tall, just cut off, and I thought, yeah, somebody see this and think I was crazy, but I wanted to try it. It was my experiment to see if this stuff is really going to work.
Yeah.
But I was determined that they was going to live, though. So once a month, like I say, I treated them with B1, a very extra strong dose.
Your solution.
My solution, not what the directions on the jug said. And so we're into July, and it's getting hot, and I'm thinking, geez Louise, 2 months. And nothing's happening. I don't see anything happening. But I scratched the stems, with my fingernail, and they're still green. So those 3 foot stems were still green. So obviously there's some life in there. And but then about in October, first part of October, I saw little new buds emerging on the stems, little bumps, and a rhododendron. That's how you first can tell that they're buds. They're all bumps. They're just bumps on the stem, and then they all of a sudden, boom, they pop, and the next thing you know, you've got little branches. And, so by and I just kept, and then winter finally came along, and I didn't have to water them anymore. And first part of March, end of February of the next year, there was a whole lot more buds. And then in about April, those buds opened up into leaves on every one of those plants. All nine of them had leaves, and they were growing well. So I fertilized them with some rhododendron food, and then they kicked into high gear, man. I mean, so I left them out in the field for, an additional year, and they became beautiful, and they bloomed with purple flowers.
Mm.
And then that following winter, I bought some very large pots. I mean, really large pots, and I planted them in the pots, and then I moved them up into our retail yard and put a for sale sign on them. And I put $200 on each one just to see what would happen. Because by that time, they're gorgeous. By that time, they're looking good. They're full of leaves. They got flowers. I mean, they're just looking good. And
they're in their prime.
Yes, they would. And I sold every one of those things within 2 months.
Nice.
Yeah. People go, wow, look at that road. It's so big. It's so beautiful. And it'd take a tractor. I had to use the tractor, my bucket on the tractor, to pick them up and stick them in their pickup truck, because you couldn't get them in a car. You couldn't get them in a back seat. You couldn't get them in a trunk, but you could get them in a pickup. And so people were buying, maybe one or two at the most. And that would almost fill up their small pickups, just two of them. Mm-hmm. And then I would give them instructions on, you know, this is what you want to do. This is how you want to do it. This is what you use, the B1, blah, 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 blah. And just give them the whole story. And never had a complaint. Never had somebody call up and say, oh, they died or anything like that.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, after this success, I never threw any plants away. Even if they were crushed on a road by a semi, I'd pick them up. No, not really. But if there were, you know, there were plants that we were growing that weren't looking too sharp and it looked like they were, I just pruned them back and potted them up and B1'd them. And within months, maybe 3 months, 4 months, they were gorgeous. They looked good.
Cool.
Well,
I was going to say, you have a lot of patience. Most people probably don't.
Well, that's true. With plants, you got to have patience. They don't just pop out because you say, hey, let's see some leaves, guys. No. But, the bottom line in this is don't be afraid to prune overgrown shrubs.
Yeah.
And make sure you treat them with some B1 and then lightly fertilize after they've leafed out. And they're good to go. They're stronger than they were when you first got them. So, you know, that from that flowering cherry that was sitting in the landfill, I learned quite a bit on how to successfully regenerate and bring plants back to life again. So that was good.
Yeah, that's speaking of bringing life. Okay. Boom! It's time for a break.
A break already.
All right, our phone number again, Mike.
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, 71 degrees, and we're back.
71, it's like April or May out there, isn't it?
You know, I love it. I love it.
Oh, you would. But if you have a question, 673-4464, about not just transplanting, but rejuvenating your lawn, or how to fertilize, what to fertilize with, should I continue to water, any questions, fair game, so don't hesitate. Here we are, like I say, in mid-October, and we're at our house still harvesting vegetables from our own little garden there. We're getting zucchini, of course, because zucchini never quits.
You can't kill those.
No, you can't kill a zucchini, baby. Tomatoes, onions, potatoes, figs. We harvested our first bunch of figs the other day.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and they're ready to go. And I planted one on purpose, three years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And they grew, but not real fast or not much. And there was a fig or two the first spring, and then there was a few more the second spring. And this year it was almost full of figs. I got two of them side by side. And so my wife went out there and she got a bucket, not a bucket full, but a saucepan full.
Yeah.
And she's gonna make some cookies or fig bread or something. But
I bet it was good.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised. Here we are in Oregon and we can grow figs.
Figs.
Yeah. What a cool thing.
Where do they normally grow?
I think more in a southern, warmer climate, maybe, California, Southern California.
Okay.
I know they grow over in the Mideast.
China? And,
well, I don't know. They might.
The Mideast is pretty hot now, so they might grow over there.
Could be. You never know.
Pardon the pun.
There's a pun there. Okay. I'll get it after a while. But our zucchini, my goodness gracious, I eat zucchini, I think, every night. But the way my wife cooks it, it's not bad. She fries it up with some butter and some onions, and then we got fresh tomatoes, we got onions, and the potatoes. My wife dug out two of our potato plants. She was just wanted to see what they look like. And both of them are about 6 inches in diameter. They're huge, huge potatoes. And I thought, you know, how could that be? But she got two of them, and one of the potatoes would make a whole meal. You could boil it and make French fries out of it. You could bake it, and you could feed five people from it. That's how big. I've never seen potatoes that big.
Bigger than a baker.
Yeah. And anyway, we got two of them so far, so I don't know. There's probably some more, you know, getting ready to get out of there. But, you know, we started our first harvesting back in June, you know, on a pretty regular basis. At least twice a week, my wife was taking, you know, tomatoes. You can't kill a tomato, for crying out loud, if you tried. And they don't take a lot of care. We don't have a huge garden. I didn't make it that big. It's in raised beds and all that. But we've been experimenting with it to see, you know, what's going to grow best, because we're not in full sun where it is all day. It's in the middle of summer, they're in the shade.
Oh.
So it's because the sun goes down behind the ridge, and there's big fir trees on the ridge, and, you know, there's a little bit of sunlight goes through. But from about 7 in the morning till, say, 6 at night, they're in sun. So it's not like out there at cruises or, you know, where it's in sun all the time. But we've gotten a lot of produce from that little garden. And I was trying to figure out how much. I asked my wife today, I said, you know, we got this, and this, and you've been doing this for 2 months or whatever. How many dollars worth do you think you got? And she said, she said at least a couple hundred dollars, and we still got more to go. And we've still got zucchinis are still coming on, man, and the tomatoes and the peppers and the potatoes. We only plant stuff that we'll actually eat, you know. Avoid anything that, you know, I can't think of anything that rutabagas, for instance. I wouldn't eat a rutabaga if you'd
paid me. I don't
even
know what that is. It's red?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. But, broccoli. Yeah.
You don't like broccoli?
Oh, I love broccoli.
Oh, okay.
But what a producer that is. You know, just on three plants, we have broccoli almost every night, for crying out loud. Yeah, I mean, it is part of the dinner. Not every night, but it seems like every night.
Right, I said, right. Oh, broccoli, that's good and healthy for
you. Broccoli again, all right. My favorite. Well, yeah.
A little butter and salt?
Yeah, I put some mayonnaise on it, and delicious.
I'll have to try it with mayo.
Yeah, try it. Well, then, you know, you get done harvesting all this, and it's time to clean up and prepare for next year's garden.
Already?
Yeah, already. I mean, as soon as your garden actually stops producing, you know, to pull out the plants and the leaves that are still there, put them in a pile for compost. They'll rot, and you can add them, you know, later on next year or the year after. But that way, if you prepare for next year's garden now, it's fairly easy to do, because there's not a lot of weeds in there to contend with.
True.
You know, you can add your compost, you can add some new soil if you need it, till up the beds, and it's ready for next spring. And not much is going to grow between now and next spring, but if there's some things that do grow next spring, a quick tilling and you're ready to go. Rather than letting it sit all winter and let that weed population establish itself, and then when you say, hey, it's time to get the garden ready, and you go out there and the weeds are 3 feet tall and they're covering the whole stinking place. So,
and the ground's hard.
Yeah, well, not quite hard, but it's wet.
It's wet, yeah.
You know?
Blah, 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 blah.
So you can't really do any real tilling or soil mixing.
So that's where Dad went wrong. He always left it the way it was, and year after year we went
and
out there.
And it's twice the work.
Oh, man.
To at least twice the work to get it to where it's plantable again.
Absolutely. So, I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, so that's what we've been doing with this the raised bed garden we have. And it's about, the one bed is probably 30 feet long and 5 feet wide and 3 feet tall, so you don't have to bend and you don't have to get on your knees, mm-hmm. and you can just pick whatever you want to pick. And there's plenty. I mean, it's been feeding us since May.
A long time. Yeah.
Excuse me. I got this stinking cold here.
Dad broke many a rototiller blade out there.
You can.
Oh, yeah. Then he'd cuss at the machine. Like it was its fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, that machine is no good. Yeah.
I just paid blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But by prepping early, there's less weed growth for next spring to deal with. It's easier to plant. It's easier to till. And, I'll till again and begin to plant the new garden. Oh, shoot, probably first part of April, depending on the weather, depending mm-hmm. on the soil moisture. And if it's tillable, go ahead and get her done. Because the new plants are arriving at, the starter plants that you find at the box stores, mm-hmm. nurseries, yeah. and stuff like that. Gosh. Sorry.
I don't have any cough drops either today.
I don't know. It's been bothering me for a week or two here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Knock wood.
Yeah. So maybe it's because I don't wear a coat in the rain. I don't know.
I get you a Tootsie Pop.
No, I don't think so. But and like I said, since we have raised beds, prepping and planting and harvesting are a whole lot easier and quicker and more productive. You don't get burned out on, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I can do this, I can do this. Now, for the stuff that we don't have, of course, Brosai Fruit Stand is just, a few miles away, and they grow, acres and acres, and they're closer than cruises. So, there are several gardens that you can do that. And so we buy our, corn or melons or cucumbers. I don't buy the veggies. My wife does. But they don't ever have any hamburgers in their bins, so I don't know. So since building raised beds, we have reduced our labor time on gardening by about 50%. Hmm. At least 50%.
Nice.
And so it's not a chore. It's not a hassle. And you're not fighting the junk that's coming up.
Right.
no bending has reduced our labor at least by 50%. And you don't have to pull any weeds. There's very few weeds that appear in our garden. And we're surrounded by, timber and grass, sure. and weeds that I'm
flying more, birds.
Yeah, flying birds, exactly. But It's no bending over. It saves you back. It's easy to do. I mean, a little bit bending, but you don't have to get on your knees and mm-hmm. or get a hoe and start banging on the ground and kind of do that. So, a raised bed there, and you can have a small raised bed, a foot deep if you want. But ours, like I said, it's about three feet tall. And I filled it all with, really good stuff years ago. So everything you can dig in my soil with your hands. I mean, it's that nice.
Cool.
And what happens is, of course, the whatever starter plants you put in there or seed roots out very easily, very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and you get maximize your growth.
Got a head start.
A head start, and you maximize your growth, and they produce produce much sooner than you would if you had an in-ground garden,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay. But the best part is there's no pulling of weeds. That's the cool thing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And prep time, like I say, is a lot easier, quicker, and it seems our crops, like I said, grow faster and larger in less time.
I bet they do.
Yeah. And they continue. Those tomatoes, my gosh, I don't think we have three tomato plants, maybe four tomato plants.
Is that right?
That's it.
Wow.
And they we probably have eaten a bushel basket full of tomatoes over the last 4 months.
Oh, at least. Every time months. You come in here, we got some more tomatoes.
Yeah, you want some more tomatoes?
You keep promising to bring them into me, but
well,
you haven't.
I keep eating them. What do you expect? Oh,
speaking
gosh.
Of which, we got to eat a break here.
We're going to go to a break. Okay, we'll be back.
All right, and the phone number, Mr. Mike.
673-4464. Any question you have, let's hear it and let's do it.
Let's do it, yeah. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
That's us. They're talking about us, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
What's our phone number?
673-4464, and I'm talking about my raised bed gardens and how you can make your gardening life easier, more productive, and just less work, period. That's the bottom line. If you can raise stuff and you don't have to get down on your hands and knees and pull weeds or hoe weeds or anything like that, and raise enough to eat for months, that's a good deal.
Absolutely.
And like I say, one of the reasons for the raised beds and all the good stuff I put in there, I have better growth because it's better soil, mm-hmm. and it's easier to prep. And my raised beds, I think I got, I estimated there's about 250 square feet in total growing area. And adding more, a little more soil and organic material mm-hmm. will make it more productive every year.
Just that's what I was going to say. It's all organic.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm not an organic fanatic anything like that.
Yeah, I know you're not.
But you add good stuff to the soil and you get better results and more produce. And I used to do, you know, gardening in the ground in our first house, and it was a whole lot more work in the long run. No matter how much I tilled and prepped, weeds grew quickly and in great quantities.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, geez, weeds. And it was heavy clay, and, you know, and I tilled it and tilled it and tilled it, and it was really pretty. I only tilled it, you know, five times before it was doable in my house in Roseburg way back when.
The one up on the hill, kind of?
Yeah, the one up on the hill there. And, man, and then you plant your little plants or you plant your seed or stuff like that, and they start to come up, and the weeds are coming up right behind them because obviously you left some roots in there. Oh. Obviously, tilling it to death didn't kill the roots. I mean, it just kind of energized them. Said, hey, man, he loosened up the soil. Let's grow some more. But you're down on your hands and knees or with a hoe and trying to hoe around these little tiny plants to keep them clean so they don't have to compete for water. They don't have to compete for sunlight or nutrition from the soil. And the raised bed thing is so much easier, so much more productive, and in the long run, you just grow a whole lot more. And now, if you don't have the room to do that, hey, grow your veggies in big, large pots. Go to one of the box stores, and then they got these great big pots on sale in the middle of December where nobody's buying them. Go down there and buy a dozen of them.
I wish my dad would have done that.
Yeah, it's so much easier.
Oh.
And fill them with, you know, some really good soil and some nutritious stuff, and you can plant in those pots.
And no fuss, no muss.
No, and there's no weeds.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about it. And you can grow just about anything in there except maybe corn. You know, corn get a little tall and spindly, and the wind would probably blow it over. But if you don't have a lot of yard space, the potted gardens are the way to go. You know, if you're in a condo or if you have to share some space in open space in a condominium kind of place, hey, the pots are good to go. You got a balcony, you got a patio, or you got just a little bit of ground in the sun. You can have all the tomatoes and peppers and, you know, small shrubby things. I mean, you could even put one zucchini in the middle of the
just
pot.
One.
Just one. That's all you need. And you'll fill up. You'll fill up. Oh, gosh.
Again, Dad never learned his lesson.
Well, you know, some people are stubborn.
No, was he ever.
Oh, boy. But, you know, just set up this stuff in a sunny area. And don't forget the water, and you can have all that good stuff. You can do lettuce, strawberries, you know, anything you want to eat that's small, that's not going to be outrageously big. You can put some potato plants in there. And I would avoid zucchini in a pot.
Yes.
And corn, maybe pumpkins and squash. And you know, stick to the smaller plants, and you're going to have, you know, better success. And for some interesting reading, like I told you at the beginning of the show, try Mother Earth News. It's full of good information, and it's not just all hippie county counterculture type stuff. These are regular folks that have articles in there, and they have photos. They have great articles on intensive gardening. And, you know, I even learn stuff when I read these articles and say, yeah, I need to try that next year. Maybe I'll try that. And besides all that, they have great color photos with detail so you can actually see what they've done mm-hmm. in their yards. And
where could they pick one a copy of that up?
Just about any store, just about any box store or anything like that.
Bi-Mart, Walmart?
Yeah, sure, any of that. In the magazine section, they'll have Mother Earth News. It's it's just good. It's great articles, and they have, you know, how to plan your own projects, and nice. And here's some different photos in here on
different ideas.
Yeah, a lot of different ideas on how to make tables out of big timber and stuff like that. But the gardening stuff is just really, you know, it's just like, here's this one article, getting the most food from a small area.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's good. How are we doing on time?
About 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Well, I hope you learned something. I hope I showed you or told you what. Here's some raised beds. See pictures of those. And a lot of times you can read the articles and not quite get what they're saying, but you look at the pictures and go, yeah, I can do that.
I need pictures.
I need pictures. A picture is worth 1,000 words, and I don't have to try to figure it out. You know?
I think they call them illustrations.
Illustrations.
Yes.
They're not pictures no more. They're illustrations.
Illustrations. Google it.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it.
See you next week, Mike.
Okay.
The Afternoon Report is up next with Douglas County's news team on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.